He preached how Jesus suffered, how he bled and died. Jesus did it for sinners like me. Then I came and I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. From 5 rows back I came. What a change, things are different now. Peace and happiness fill my heart. Jesus walks and talks with me each passing day. And I know that through the years of time and through all eternity, I'll not forget the night my sins were washed away.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Folks, music is to make you think. And I tell you what, if you couldn't remember the day you got saved hearing that song, something wrong. You better check up. I remember sitting right over here, not very far from the preacher, when God touched my heart and saved my soul. And you know what? My life was a sham. Until you come to that place where you'll admit that, you can't be saved. You're dishonest. God's not going to deal with a dishonest person. But once you'll come to God honestly and say, you know what, my life's a sham. It's fake. Hey, God will deal with that. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would. Then I want to ask you to pray about something. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. But Friday afternoon, I was studying for the message for our teen awards banquet, and I preached on Esther and the providence of God and how God does things and how God moves and puts us in different places and uses circumstances to get us to certain places. And if you read the book of Esther, you'll understand that God's never mentioned in that book, but you can see His hand all through that. You can see God all through the book of Esther without even mentioning His name one time. But Friday afternoon, after I got done studying for this message, there was some trash had blown up in the yard. It was windy, and it was an envelope from the school across the street, and it was right in front of my truck, and I was going to pick it up like a good staff member ought to, preacher, if you're watching this. And I picked it up, and it was sealed, and it had an address on it, and you could tell it was a young man's name, or it was to his parents, and it was about the young man. I don't know, but I took that, and I put it, and I thought, you know, I may go see them, but I wasn't sure if I was going to do it. And after I preached the message that night, Saturday, I got convicted about it, and it was sitting there, and Brother Endicott and his son Kendall and Brother Costigan and I went out soul winning together. And I said, fellas, we just preached on the providence of God. I said, I don't know what this is all about, but I said, I don't think God just blew that envelope right up there with that address and that name on it for us just to kind of throw it away. So we took out a MAPSCO and we went. And listen, I wasn't sure what it was going to meet. Just hand the thing off and see what was going to happen. We got to spend an hour with a Muslim man and a teenage boy and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what God's going to do, but here's what I told him. I told him that, you know what, Islam, you're going to have, you know, I told, just said my life was a sham. I basically told him, Islam, you're going to have to give, you can't trust Christ in being Islam. Can't do it. It's not going to work. I said, you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to see that faith that you've put in that is wrong, and you're going to have to put it in Jesus Christ. Now listen, they listened, and I want you to pray for them. Now listen, they got names that long, and I couldn't give it to you if you need to. But I want you to pray for those two if you would. I don't know what God's going to do with that, but I've got a phone number and I'm going to contact them and try to stay in touch with them. But listen, I want the church to pray about that. I think God was in that. And I appreciate Brother Endicott and his son and Brother Costigan going with me and praying during that whole time. I really think God's going to do something with that. So we'd ask you to pray for that if you would. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. And the Bible says here, Paul writing to the Ephesians says, if you'll stand, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now I want you to turn, if you would, over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm sorry, chapter number 3. And it says in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Now the context of what I'm about to read is the end times. Look at verse number 1. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it's very evident that in the last days, deception is going to be the theme. Deceived and being deceived. Now look what he says though, to combat this deception, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then notice what he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what he's telling Timothy? He's saying, Timothy, hey, don't use what you learned in seminary. Use what your mama taught you when you was a little boy. Hey, that's the stuff that's true. Hey, what we learned in Sunday school, those Bible stories from the Scripture, hey, those things need to be preached. Those things need to be remembered. Hey, it's not for little kids. See, we're deceived today thinking that, you know what? That Sunday school is for little kids and Bible stories are for little kids. No, Paul said this. Listen, we're living in the last days. It's those little Bible stories that were taught you in Sunday school that's the truth. And then notice what he says in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now look at this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 48. And here's what Jesus says. He says this, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight and we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you that I hold in my hand this King James Bible. I thank you, Lord, that it is the Word of God. It's inspired and preserved for me. And I thank you for the doctrines in this Bible. I thank you, Lord, for the stories that I learned in Sunday school. I thank you for the stories that my children have learned in Sunday school. And Lord, I think it's the Word of God, and I know it's the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you for it. I pray that now you would bless your Word. And Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts. Thank you for the good music program. Lord, I hope that you were honored by that. Lord, it touched my heart. And Lord, I pray now that the preaching of your Word would go forth and do what you want it to do tonight. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Now, in these three passages of Scripture that I've read to you, the word perfect has showed up. Now, most of the time we think of perfect as sinless. That's not what the Bible defines it as. Even though God is perfect, He is sinless. But God's not going to give us a command to be perfect when we're not sinless. So that can't be the definition. To define perfect would be this, having all facets, maturity, being balanced. You know God's never off balance? You ever been knocked off balance? Have you ever been out of whack? Hey, God's never out of whack. He's never surprised. Think about the word perfect. What's the perfect age? It's not too old. It's not too young. Hey, what's the perfect weight? Not too heavy. Not too light. It's just the perfect weight. The perfect diet. It's got not too much fat, not too little fat. It's got a lot. No, it's not overboard on anything. But you think about those things. Jesus is saying that we as Christians need to strive to be balanced and mature. You say, how do we do that? Well, the Word of God. His teaching. Listen, this book here balances us. It says in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow, mature, that they may grow thereby. The just shall live by what? All right, what's just mean? It means balanced. Hey, the justice, you see the lady justice, what is she holding in her hand? Balances. The just shall live by faith. Hey, this Bible right here that I hold in my hand, this King James Bible, it balances me. It is God's Word, and God's Word balances us. Now, see, now what we're all different, though. You know what balances me from this book may not balance you. We're all different, and there's things in my life that I need to work on, and there's things in your life that as I read the Word of God, you're strong, I'm weak. I'm strong, you're weak, and listen, I can't look at you and say, you know what, I need to balance my life by Brother Perez, because I can't balance my life by Brother Perez, because I'm not Brother Perez. I've got to look in the Word of God, the God who created me, and listen, He knows where I need to balance. He understands my weaknesses. He understands my strength, and the Word of God is the only thing that's going to balance your life. And God commands us to be perfect, to be balanced, to mature, to be growing, to be striving in our Christian life. Now, as believers, we're commanded to be balanced, growing and maturing. And what I want to do this evening is I want to look at four areas where God wants to balance our lives. And from these four areas, I'm sure there's more, but from these four areas we see from Scripture, it covers a pretty good range in our life. First of all, we need the proper balance of grace and truth. I want you to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we hear this a lot. And first thing you think of when you think of balance or perfection is this verse right here, that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Look at verse 14. And the Word of God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and beheld His glory, the only begotten Son, the only begotten of the Father. Now look what it says, full of what? Grace and truth. That means He was full of grace and He was full of truth. That means He was balanced. To go overboard on grace is to lose truth. You know how we compromise? Grace. You know what a lot of these churches are doing today under the name of grace? They're taking whole sections out of the Bible and saying it's great. You know, we don't talk about sin because we're living in the day of what? Grace. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Yes, that's true. But listen, if you go overboard on grace, you're going to compromise the truth. Hey, these two go hand in hand and they've got to be balanced. And God balances these. In fact, Jesus balanced grace and truth. But see, we can go overboard on grace and we'll compromise. Hey, listen, parents, you can go overboard on grace and you can spoil your children. Hey, they need truth. They need truth. But as they get, listen, but if you go overboard on truth, you'll lose grace. You'll be a Pharisee. The Pharisees went overboard on the law. And listen, they didn't cut anybody any slack. And listen, the woman that comes in adultery and they bring Jesus and said, listen, what do we, the law says we're to stone her. You know what Jesus showed to her? Grace. Hey, you know what they wanted? They wanted the full force of the law. He said grace. And so you can go overboard on grace and you'll lose truth and compromise, or you can go overboard on truth and lose grace. Now, we're to be full of both. We're to be full of both grace and truth. You say, Brother Davis, how can we be full? How can we grow in truth and grace? I'll tell you what, just what we were doing a minute ago. You know what? I was reminiscing during that song, Brother Tim. It took me back to when I realized I was wrong. And you know what? It took me back to that life that God saved me from. See, as you learn truth, don't forget where God brought you from. You know why we commemorate the Lord's Supper? It's a remembrance. It's to take us back to the cross. It's to take us back to that place where God saved us. I don't know about you, but when I got saved at the foot of the cross. I got saved looking at a crucified Christ through the eyes of faith, through the preaching of God's Word. I got saved listening. In my mind, I could see Jesus Christ crucified for my sins, that He died for my sins. And you know what the Lord's Supper is? It's just to help us to remember that. Because listen, as we start to gain truth, we lose grace. Hey, when we first got saved, it was all about grace. Glory to God, it's the gift of God, man. Salvation's by grace through faith. But hey, as we start learning and growing, we forget that. And listen, to be balanced with both, as we learn truth, we must not forget where God brought us from. Grace. Grace. You know what a bus route's about? It's all about grace. But I tell you what, those kids need truth too, don't they? Hey, they need junior church. Hey, they need more than junior church. They need Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They need someone to love them and give them the truth. Hey, listen, it's all about, yes, it's about grace, but I tell you what, they need truth too. You say they're just not growing, Brother Dave. Well, I'll tell you why they aren't. They need truth. Hey, they need somebody, a bus captain or a bus worker, that might, you know, inject a little truth every now and then instead of just saying, well, if I do that, they may not ride the bus. That's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to impart truth. Hey, that bus is grace, man. It is. It's the way of salvation. That bus is going to dump them off right at the foot of the cross. But I tell you what, if we don't give them the truth, they're never going to grow. And listen, we've got bus kids that have grown in this church. And listen, I'm sure when they think back, they thank God just like I do. But I tell you what, they also thank God somebody told them the truth. Somebody told them how to live. Somebody told them how to walk. Somebody taught them how to pray, Brother Todd. Somebody taught them how to go soul winning. Somebody taught them what the church is all about. See, they're not just a number. It's not all about grace, but you know what? It's not all about truth either. We got to be full of both. And when God says, be ye therefore perfect, we're to be perfect in grace and truth. And listen, to be balanced is a tough thing to do. It really is, to stay in balance. The problem with us a lot of times in our Christian life is we go overboard one way or the other, don't we? Hey, in our discipline with our kids, sometimes we go overboard one way or the other. Hey, we've got to be full of grace and truth. Hey, some of you teenagers, you make fun of other teenagers. You know why? You don't know anything about grace. And you don't know anything about truth. You know why? Because you're immature. You know why someone needs to correct you and say, hey, you better stop that? Because one day it could be you. Hey, listen, when I see a bully, I want to bully the bully. How many of y'all feel like that? I do. Hey, when you see someone, picking on somebody weaker, making fun of somebody that's weaker, hey, it irritates me. I tell you what, listen, I was an outcast, and Jesus took care of me. And I tell you what, He did something for me. But I tell you what, this thing of grace and truth, we need to show people grace. Hey, there's some people that don't know the truth. And listen, until they can get the truth, you know what they need? They need a little bit of grace. But they also need to get the truth too. You can't just give them grace, 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 grace. But I tell you what, they need grace so that they can hear the truth and do something with the truth. I mean, listen, if it's so stiff and hard in this church that, listen, sinners don't even want to come in, we got problems. But I tell you what, I'm going to dress like I'm supposed to dress. I'm going to act like I'm supposed to act. But you know what? I'm going to season that with grace, with a sweet spirit, that, listen, an inviting spirit. But I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to honor God, and I'm not going to dive in where they are. Listen, I'm going to be someone standing there saying, hey, you can make it. Grace and truth, we've got to be full of both. Number two, not only do we need to have the proper balance of faith, of grace and truth, but we also need the proper balance of love and hatred. See, we don't like that word hatred, do we? It's all about love, isn't it? God is, you know, God's both. Hey, God's a God of love, but He's also a God of wrath. Hey, God is a God of peace, but He's also a God of war. Hey, the Bible says He's a man of war. Hey, God will fight at the drop of a hat. And listen, when He comes back, He's going to fight. He's going to fight the Antichrist. He's going to fight the armies of the Antichrist. And He's going to defeat them. And He's not going to do it with a limp wrist and long hair. He's a man of war. See, God is both. 1 John 4:8 says this, God is love. Now the same God that said, or the same word that said God is love, it says this, the same God said this, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. See, you can't love without hating. See, I love my wife and I hate any woman that will try to get in between she and I. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Listen, I love my children and I hate anything and anybody that will harm them. Why? Because I love them. See, I don't understand this thing, I love everybody. That's hypocritical. No, you don't. I don't love everybody. Because, listen, there's certain things, there's evil in this world. You love the devil? I love everybody. I love the devil. Oh, yeah. See, you can't love without hating. And listen, you can't hate without loving. Marriage, parent, relationships. Listen, in 2 Corinthians 6, turn over there, 2 Corinthians Chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Look at it. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? See, if you love the light, you hate the darkness. What concord hath Christ with Belial? If you love Christ, you got to hate Belial. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Hey, if you love the believers, you got to hate the infidel. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For what is the temple of the living God? As God has said, I dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. You got to have the proper balance. And what we've got today is, listen, we've got today a deception where everything's about love. And the people that are saying they love you, they really don't love you. Hey, teenager, that person that said, hey, listen, we got perverts coming around saying they love our children and they're raping them. Oh, I love you. See, we need the proper balance of love and hatred. I like what Billy Sunday said, if you love flowers, you can't love flowers unless you hate weeds. Just the way it is. Hey, Psalm 97:10 says, it's getting awful quiet in here. See, this is truth, folks. There's something wrong. Because some of you are falling for this stuff. See, Obama and the Democrats have said, listen, they love this country, but they're doing everything they can to destroy it. In the name of love and hope and change. Folks, we got to get a Bible perspective on what's going on. It says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. David said about his enemies. In Psalm 139:22 said, I hate them with a perfect hatred. See, it's hypocritical to love one to not have one without the other. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. I want you to see something here. Turn to Romans chapter number 12, verse number 9. The Bible says this, let love be without what? Dissimulation. That's hypocritical. Now look what it says. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is what? Good. That means you got to hate evil. And you got to love that which is good. You got to love the good. Hey, a sign of maturity in Hebrews chapter 5, you know what it is? It says, he that is strong meat can discern both, discern from good and evil. We're living in a day where evil is called, evil is good and good is evil. And people can't even recognize it. I mean, listen, if you stand for the Bible, you're evil. See, if you speak out against homosexuality, you're evil. You're a hate monger. See, if you speak the truth, you're evil. It's coming down, folks, that where legislation is going to be passed, if you're a Bible believer, you're going to be the rebel. You're going to be the one that is breaking the law. There are laws being passed to shut us up right now, that only certain things we can preach. Now listen, some of the churches that are going right now, some of these big mega churches, they don't have to worry about it because they don't preach on anything. See, the problem with them is, listen, if you were to listen to them, they sound good because they have such a positive message. The deception is not in what they say, it's what they don't say. They don't preach on hell. They don't preach on separation. They don't preach against sin at all. It's just, hey, let's all fellowship. Let's all get together. Hey, let's drop our denominational ties. And hey, let's not worry about doctrine. Let's stop correcting one another. Let's just kiss each other on the forehead and sing Kumbaya while the world goes to hell. Because see, we won't say anything about hell. And we won't say anything about, hey, living right so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, that God won't fill a dirty vessel and a dirty heart. See, we won't preach against that stuff. Hey, we won't preach against liquor and immorality and pornography and all that stuff because it's rampant today. It's just accepted. We swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Hey, listen, if you love God, you got to hate sin. But you got to love the sinner. But listen, our country is going down the tubes, folks. And if we don't start, listen, if we don't get the proper balance here between love and hate. See, the Bible says, let your love be without dissimulation, hypocritical. To say, I love everybody and everything. That is just somebody that they need to go to the funny farm. And I'll tell you, I'll just say this, they're liars. They're liars. I love everybody. I turn the other cheek. No, you don't. I'll tell you what, for people to stand up and say, our boys that are over there fighting for this country and saying that, you know what they are? They're murderers and warmongers. That bunch, I hate them. I hate them with a perfect hatred because they hate this country and they hate what it stands for and they hate my Bible and they hate my God. I love them. I love everybody, Brother Davis. Phooey. You don't love everybody. You're a hypocrite. It's evil. It's wicked. And listen, if it is that, then you need to hate it. You need to hate what God hates and love what God loves. That's balanced. And see, the balance is perfection. We need to get it. We need to strive for it. And we've got to get in our heads that, listen, you know what, as Christians, we can't hate anybody. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And you know what? We can defend our country. The Jehovah's Witnesses won't. But Baptists can. Because we know what the Bible says about war. We understand the cause. We understand what this country was founded on. And listen, I would fight for this country. And I thank God for the men and women that do fight for this country. And listen, I hate those that are against the military of this country. You say, would you try to win them to Christ? Sure I would. But I'll tell you what, I will fight them tooth and nail in the public arena against what they believe. Just like I would fight a Church of Christ who's trying to damn people to hell, and a Jehovah's Witness, and a Catholic, and their false doctrine. Now see, some of you don't like that. I hate their doctrine. I hate what they stand for. I hate what they're doing to our young people. I hate the music crowd that, you know what, propagates the music that's tearing up the minds of our young people. I hate it. And listen, we need to get a proper balance. But you know what? God is love. And I understand that. And listen, I understand that the gospel is love. And I understand that I need to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I want to do that. But I tell you this, I don't want to be a Christian sissy. I don't think Christians were sissies in the early days. Our forefathers the reason we stand with the King James Bible and we stand for the things that we stand for is because there were men of God. I'm going to say that, men of God, that listen, they hated what God hated and they loved what God loved. Hey, listen, I love my family. I love my church. I love America. I love, so you say, Brother Davis, you're all about hate. No, I'm not. I love some things too. But I tell you what, you get on the things that I love, I'll hate your guts. But see, we got to be balanced in that. Now, some of you are saying, this ought not go on in church. I'm reading you the stuff from the Bible. Hey, folks, if it's evil, we need to hate it. We need to pray against it. We need to rain down God's wrath upon it. But here's what we've done. We'll sit and watch it on TV and listen to it on the radio and laugh at the jokes. And we wonder why America's the way it is. We wonder why our young people are the way they are. Number three, we need the proper balance of zeal and knowledge. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know what Israel was? I'll tell you what, Paul was a perfect picture of what Israel was. Listen, he persecuted the church because he thought, hey, I'm a child of God, I'm part of God's people, and I don't know what this church business is and this Christianity stuff, and he tried to stomp it out. Hey, he had the zeal of God. He thought he was doing God a favor. But it wasn't according to knowledge until in Acts chapter 9. Like Brother Todd said, God had to knock him on the head. Hey, God had another plan. And the zeal of God, they had a desire for God. And listen, I believe that people have a desire for God, but it's not according to knowledge. See, they felt saved, but that was because they didn't believe the facts. They had a feeling that, listen, we talk to people all the time, and listen, they desire God, but they don't want to know God by knowledge. They want to make God in their own little image. They want to create Him in their own little image, in their own little social structure, in their own little... It's called an idol. They build a God in their mind, and it's not according to the Word of God, and they say, well, that's what my God does. See, I talked to a lady yesterday, tried to win her to Christ, and you know what? You know what she said? I just don't believe God would put anybody in hell. I don't believe He'd punish anybody. And you know what she said the statement before? Here's what she said. She said, I believe God's going to punish the devil. What's that all about? God's not going to punish anybody, but he's going to punish the devil. And the devil's the one that deceived Adam and Eve and plunged the whole world into sin. Why did he do that? If God doesn't punish anybody. And then I said this, I said, why did Jesus die? Well, for our sins. Well, he died for our sins so he wouldn't have to punish us. Now listen, she had a zeal for God. Hey, she was representing her God the best she could, but it wasn't according to knowledge. See, the thing about youth is, youth has a lot of zeal, but they lack knowledge, don't they? Hey, listen, young Christians, they get saved, and boy, that I tell you, when God moves in, woo! I mean, listen, when God moves in, something happens. I mean, it's electric. It really is. And there's something about a new Christian that just wants to tell everybody, but they just it's like, I don't know what to say. Hey, listen, I tried to witness to my mom, Brother Todd. I didn't know what to say, but I tell you what, I wanted to. I had a great desire to serve God and be a witness. Wanted my mom to go to heaven when I talked to her the first time on the telephone after I got saved. But you know what? Didn't have a whole lot of knowledge. But the zeal was there. See, the problem is we need a balance of both. Zeal and knowledge. And listen, a young person or somebody that's young in the Lord, listen, they have that zeal. And listen, God wants us all to have that zeal. He wants us to have that zeal of our first love when we got saved. But the problem is we study and get knowledge, it kills zeal. See, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. See, you can get so much knowledge in you and you can live the Christian life to where you could say the King James Bible's not inspired. See, that's a puffy head. Now listen to me. It's preserved. But we get to the place where, you know what, we think we know more than God. Hey, we study the Bible so much we think that people are predestinated for heaven or hell. Hey, you know what? It's not the young Christian that came up with that theology. It was somebody in a seminary that sat and studied all this stuff and never even got out, probably didn't even go to church. And comes across and listen, preachers eat that stuff up hook, line, and sinker. I love it when Timothy or Paul told Timothy, he said, listen, here's what you need to do, buddy. You remember when you were a child, you remember those stories your mom and grandma taught you? That's what you need to teach. Hey, this stuff coming out of seminary and all this stuff where these guys' heads are bloated and they wouldn't win a soul to Christ, there's something wrong. Head's too big. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. What's it do? It kills your zeal. And listen, we need a balance of zeal and knowledge. You say, how do I do that? Turn to James chapter 1. See, the Word of God will balance us if we'll just read it and allow it to do its work in our life. And this verse convicts me, and it ought to convict all of us, because it's a balance. It's a balance issue. James chapter 1. Look at verse 22. Here's what the Bible says. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Here's what God says. God says, if you're not balanced in your study and in your doing, you're going to be deceived. That's what it says. It says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer only, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and he beholdeth himself, he's looking in a mirror, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. It's like you look in the Bible, and the Bible tells you what to do, and you just ignore it. Hello? You ever been there? Hey, has the preacher ever said anything, and God smote your heart, and you didn't do anything about it? You're unbalanced. You're unbalanced. Now look what it says. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the... Well, look what it says there. The perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. Well, I've heard this all the time. I forgot. I forgot. Where's your Bible? I forgot. Hey, why are you late? I forgot what time. I forgot. See, that we think that's an excuse. It's not going to be an excuse with God. And be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. See, this balance of zeal and knowledge produces a life free from deception and loaded with happiness. God said you'll be blessed. if you'll balance these things. Listen, we need to study the Bible. We need the Word of God, but we also need to be doers of the Word. See, it's the ones that don't do the Word that deceive everybody else. And listen, there's some that like to do everything and they never study their Bibles. Listen, that's why soul winners get a bad rap about not knowing the Bible. I'll say it again. That's why soul winners get a bad rap about not knowing the Bible. Is because you know what they do? All they know is Romans Road. Well, bless God, that's the most important thing and that's what it's all about. No, no, no. It's also about baptism and discipleship. Hello? If all you do is know the Romans Road and you go soul winning and think you're right with God, you got a problem. Because the Great Commission is not just about winning them to Christ and getting them baptized, it's also about teaching them something. And listen, don't just bring people in you win and dump them. And listen, you need to tell them something. Hey, soul winner, you need to get in the Bible. Hey, God bless you for your zeal, but get a little knowledge too. Hey, some of those folks you win to Christ, you could probably help them. In fact, you're the biggest influence in their life. Why don't you tell them how to drill? Well, I'll just take them and let Brother Tom do it. Hey, you're the one that's got the influence. Why don't you show them the Scripture that shows them that they ought to dress modestly? And hey, the boys ought to have a proper haircut that looks like a boy. That's why soul winners get a bad rap. You know why? They don't know the Bible. They got zeal, but they don't know the Bible. See, it goes both ways, folks. And some of you right now, God's smoting you. All you do is you go soul winning and you think you're right with God. You don't read your Bible. You do a little bit of praying. But you don't know anything about the Bible other than what the preacher says. You wouldn't know where to find it in your Bible. But see, this life produces when you balance the hearing, the learning, and the doing. Listen, there's power in that. Listen, there's perfection in that. There's just something. God wants to use that. Number four. Not only do we need to have the proper balance of zeal and knowledge, but listen, we need to turn to Acts chapter 1. We need to have the proper balance of going and giving. See, our God is a God of balance. We are a people that are out of balance. And listen, we as Christians must strive for balance and maturity and perfection in our life. You know, my job working with teenagers is not to be like them. I'm to help them mature. I'm to help perfect them. Did you read what I read in Ephesians? You know why God gave apostles and leaders? And I'll just say this. You know why God gave children parents? For the perfecting of those children. For the maturing and balancing of those children. And God did the same for the church. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. Very common verse here. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Look what it says there. Underline that. Circle it. Both. Both. There's the balancing word right there. Both. In Jerusalem and in Judea, or in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, God gave that commandment. That's the Great Commission. That's one of the five places where God gives the great, or Jesus gives the Great Commission. And he says right here that, you know what, his disciples are to go in and they are to be witnesses. Now, see, soul winning now is taking such a bad rap. See, there's people, soul winning. I'll just remove that. Because some people think soul winning is a gift. They really do. Because we've made it into it's almost like a presentation. It's almost like you got to be a salesperson to be a soul winner. Okay, well then I'm going to use a Bible term. Witness. Witness. You say, what's a witness? A witness saw something and testifies of what happened. See, what I do is I testify of what happened on July 5th, 1983, when Jesus Christ came into my heart and changed my life. See, I just witnessed the fact that God saved me and how He saved me. That's what a soul winner does. But see, we get semantics. See, it's all about semantics. See, people that, it's soul winning, and soul winning is listen, you got to knock on a door, and it's like selling vacuum cleaners, so therefore, people are more gifted. Listen, if you're saved, You are supposed to be a witness. And then it says both. Not only where you are in your Jerusalem, and even outside of your Jerusalem, but to the uttermost parts of the earth. You say, then there's a balance there. Yes. That means if I am going to fulfill the Great Commission, I must go where I am, and I must give so others can go where I can't go. And see, when they go where they're supposed to be, they do the same thing. They go where they are, and listen, it does not negate, a missionary needs to give to missions. Wouldn't you say that's right, Brother Haynes? Would your daddy agree with that? That listen, when you go to the mission field, that listen, do you? They just take in and they don't give out anything? They just take in the money? No, they're to do both. We're commanded to do both at the same time. Now, the way that happens is there has to be a balance. You've got to go where you are. Now, here's what some think. They think that, you know what, if they give enough to missions, they don't have to go soul winning. And listen, here's what I'm going to say. It's usually to the ones who are getting to where they're 40, 45, 50, and we're getting to where, you know, we're getting to the top of our earning power, and we think we can just buy off the Great Commission, and we don't have to go, and we don't have to be a witness, and we can make excuses that we have other things that God commands us to do, but yet we call it the Great Commission. We call it the commandment above commandments. And we must balance our lives to the point, listen, we need to be a witness. Amen. And it's not a gift. Amen. But I'll tell you this, I know people that go soul winning and here's what they say, well, I don't need to give to missions, I'm going. Wrong-o. Wrong. You say, well, other people are more gifted at it, they have more money, let them give more money. God wants you to give what you're supposed to give. God wants you to do something for world missions. If you're going to be right with God. If you're going to be a balanced Christian. I'll tell you what we have. We have so much stuff. And the world has so little gospel. Yeah. If we just got rid... Now, can I tell you something about stuff? Stuff has to be maintained. Doesn't it? You know what stuff does? Stuff ties us to this world. Hey, you know what you say? I want that expensive car. Do you know how much it costs to tune up that car? It's a trap. Hey, I want that big house. Have you ever air conditioned that big house? Have you paid the electric? Have you paid taxes on that big house that you want? You say, well, man, I can afford it, man. I got a line of credit. Yeah, that's the problem we have in America. Hey, I've been approved for $250,000. But you know what? We never consider that when we get all that stuff, hey, that boat has to be maintained. Those cars have to be maintained. All that stuff. And you know what it does? It just sucks the financial life out of a church. You say, what are we supposed to do with our finances? We're to take care of our family and we're to support missions. And support this local church. This church is a mission. We're to support this church. But see, you can get out of balance. You can think, well, I'm doing enough for missions. I don't need to go Thursday night, or I don't need to go Saturday. I don't need to represent my church because I gave my mission offering. That's how I do my soul winning. I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. You need to be a witness. You need to be a witness. You say, Brother Davis, are you getting on to us? No, I'm just telling you what God says. Now, you can do with it what you want. And listen, I'm just trying to say, listen, I want God to bless your life. I want you to understand that, listen, when you balance yourself in these things, brother, are you perfect in these things? No. I have better days than some, but I'll tell you this. I can be a witness, and I can give my income to support missions. I can do that. You know why I can be a witness? Because God saved me. Come on now. I can be a witness. Now listen, if you're not saved, you're not supposed to be a witness. But if you're a child of God, and listen, and Brother Tim can stand up here and sing that song, and listen, if something doesn't go through your memory, you need to get saved. If something doesn't stir your heart, you're either lost or you're so backslidden, you need to get right. Because you know what? We can be a witness, And we can give to missions. We can do something. Hey, even if we got to sell something, we can do something. And listen, God expects it. We got to have the proper balance. If we're going to be like God, perfect, which Jesus commands us to be, perfect. He's not saying sinless because we can't be, but you know what? We can be balanced in our life. Balance equals maturity. You know why young people, they need their parents is because, you know what? If they got out on their own, they get knocked down. They're not balanced in their thinking. They're not balanced in their actions. They don't know what they're supposed to do. Hey, young Christians are that way too. But listen, we need to be striving for maturity in grace and truth, in love and hatred, in zeal and knowledge, and our going and our giving. I'm going to read this and I'm done. It's just a prayer that I saw and it touched my heart. And it's more of a poem or a prayer. It says this. It says, O Lord, help me to be firm but not harsh, realistic but not skeptical, scheduled but not rigid, pure but not proud, closed mouth but not unfriendly, appropriate but not stiff, funny but not frivolous, teachable but not gullible, flexible but not scatterbrained, humble but not pious, kind but not compromising, dependable but not dull, decisive but not stubborn, persistent but not needling, precise but not picky, simple but not foolish, demanding but not intolerant, thorough but not unkind, human but not worldly, spiritual but not impractical, generous but not irresponsible, enthusiastic but not hyper, honest but not brutal, fair but not unloving, proper but not unreal, confident but not snobbish, bold but not brazen, active but not shallow, deep but not dry, wise but not intimidating, intense but not forbidding, empathetic but not uncontrolled, forgiving but not naive, sympathetic but not pitying, helpful but not condescending, patient but not paralyzed, organized but not bossy, spontaneous but not inconsistent. Lord, I guess I'm asking to grow in favor with God and man. You see that balance there? I've got to love God, but I also have to get along with... There's a balance. We've got a balance between God and man. And look what... Here's what the person that prayer prays says. I am asking you to help me to become a balanced person. See, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Folks, we need balance. And the Bible calls it perfection. When you read that in the Bible, it does not mean sinless. It means that we need to be balanced in these areas of our life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the musicians come, if God has spoken to your heart, and I don't see how a message like this, not because I preached it, but because of the truth, that somewhere in your life you're not out of balance. And some of these, it may be in your marriage. It may be in your, it may be with your children. It may be here at your church life. Some of you got more involvement in the world than you do in the church. It's out of balance. I mean, there's areas that the Holy Spirit can touch that I didn't touch on. And if God has spoken to your heart as the musicians play, why don't you come? This invitation's for Christians. This is for folks that know they're saved and understand what God's trying to do in